भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नास्तप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नास्तिके। So Hare Krishna, so we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th chapter. The title of the chapter is Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, and we're on the 45th verse. Yavannakaya ratam atma vashopa kalpam, sorry. यावन कायारतमात्मा वसोपाकल्पम् गते गरिष्ठा चरणचनाया विशातम् दाते गरिष्ठा चरणचनाया विशातम् ज्ञानस्य मच्युतो बलो ददाम दस्ता शत्रु ज्ञानस्य मच्युत बलो ददाकस्तकस्त्रु स्वानंद तुस्ता उपासंता इदाम विजात्यात् स्वानंद तुष्टा उपासंता इदम् जयात् यावत् as long as nirkaya this human form of body ratam considered to be a chariot atmavasa dependent upon one's own control. Upakalpam, in which there are many other subordinate parts. Datte, one possesses. Garista charana, the lotus feet of the superiors, namely the spiritual master and his predecessors. Achanyam, by serving. Nishatam, sharpened. Jnanasim, the sword or weapons of knowledge. Achyutabala, by the transcendental strength of Krishna. Dadhat, holding. Ashtrashatru, until the enemy is defeated. Swananda Tushta, being fully self-satisfied by transcendental bliss. Upashanta, the consciousness being cleaned of all material contamination. Idam, this body. Vijaya, one should give up. So translation by our beloved His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge. And with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, the Lord says, Janma karma chame devyam evam yoveti tatvata tvakta deham puna janma naiti mameti sojuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjun. This is the highest perfection of life, and the human body is meant for this purpose. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20:17.
Palvam sukalpam guru kanadharam mayanu kulena nabas vatyaritam punam bhavab timnatare satmaha.
This human form of body is a most valuable boat, and the spiritual master is the captain, guru kanadharam, to guide the boat in plying across the ocean of nascence. The instruction of Krishna is a favorable breeze. One must use all these facilities to cross over the ocean of nascence. Since the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely, so that by his mercy one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. A significant word here is achyutabala. The spiritual master is certainly very merciful to his disciples, and consequently, by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. One must first please the spiritual master, and then one automatically pleases Krishna and gets the strength with which to cross the ocean of nascence. If one seriously desires to return home back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master. For thus one gets the weapon with which to conquer the enemy, and one also gets the grace of Krishna. Simply getting the weapon of jnana is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general warfare, one must take help from his chariot and the horses in order to conquer his enemy. And after conquering his enemies, he may give up the chariot and his paraphernalia. Similarly, as long as one has a human body, one should fully use it to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. The perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendentally situated, Brahma Bhuta. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Sochati Na Kankshati Samhar Sarveshu Bhauteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman, becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge, as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must attain the platform of bhakti. Bhaktiya mam abhijanati yavaniyas chasmi tatvatah tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord, by such devotion he can enter into the kingdom of God. Bhagavad Gita 18:55. A Unless one has attained the stage of devotional service and the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, there is a possibility that one may fall down and again accept a material body. Therefore, Krishna stresses in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Jarma karma cha me devyam evam yo viti tattvataha prakta dhya puna janma naiti mamiti swarjan. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The word tattvataha, meaning in reality, is very important. Tato mam tattvato gyatva. Unless one understands Krishna in truth, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up his material body. As it is said, Aruya kriche rena param padam tatha patyanti ado andrata yusmat angriha. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, one cannot become free from the material clutches simply by knowledge. If one attains the stage of Brahma padam, merging in Brahman without bhakti, he is prone to fall down. One must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again into the material bondage. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti, from which one is sure not to fall. Then one is free from the activities of material world. In summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with a bona fide spiritual master, coming in the parampara of Krishna consciousness. For by his mercy and instructions, one is able to get strength from Krishna. Thus, one engages in devotional service and attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Vishnu. Significant in this verse are the words, Jnanasim Achyuta Bala. Jnanasim, the sword of knowledge, is given by Krishna. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. Balaram is Nityananda, Vrajendra Nanda, Ye Shachi Sutta Haile Se, Balaram Nahaila Nithai. This Balaram comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come specially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papi tapi yatachila harinam udharila. Their weapon is sankirtan harinam. Thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. In the Mukunda Upanishad 3-4, it is said, Nayam Atma Baladhinaya Lavyo, Nacha Pramadat Tapaso Vail Alingat. Etai upaya yatiti vyastu vidams tasvayasta atma vishayati brahmadhama. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nitayer karuna habe vraje radha krishna paye. When one receives the mercy of Balaram Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Se sambandha nahi yara prata jnana gale tara vidya kule hi karibe tara. If one has no connection with Nithai, Balaram, then even though one is a very learned scholar or a jnani, or has taken birth in a very respectful family, these assets will not help him. We must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balaram. So, translation once more. As long as one has to accept a mature body with its different parts and paraphernalia which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge. And with the power of the Supreme Personality of God as mercy, one must conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss. And then he may be able to give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. So everybody can repeat this translation, a few words at a time. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge. And with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss. And then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. Om Jnanandi Mirandasya Jnananjala Shalakya Chakshur Militanyena Jasmai Shri Garve Nama. So I'd like to request the blessings from the exalted Vaishnavas to be able to say something to please the Supreme Personalities on the altar. Shishi Krishna Balaram, Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar, Lalita Vishaka, Shishi Gonitai, Srila Prabhupada. And I'd like to thank Dharmatma Prabhu for giving the opportunity to do some service. I hope I will be able to say something of some benefit to myself. This is a self-purificatory process. And along the way, if we can help other devotees, that's all well and good. Incredible purport, incredible verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada's given so much in this purport. As always, he gives everything. He doesn't leave anything behind. So, I wanted to just really make a few points on some of the points that he's making. We can see the translation, as long as one has to accept a mature body, we got no choice. We have a mature body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control. One must have the lotus feet of his superiors. So before we come to the spiritual master, the blessings of our superiors are very, very important. The advanced Vaishnava, just because he may not be our spiritual master doesn't mean his blessings have no value. Blessings of the advanced devotees, blessings of our superiors, our mothers and fathers, those who are superior to us, are very important for our health and well-being, to help us to nourish our spiritual strength. There's an example from the Mahabharata. Just before the battle of Kurukshetra, King Yudhishthira was on his chariot. The armies had gathered, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. But before the battle began, Yudhishthira ordered his chariot driver, "Take me to the other side." And the Pandavas were surprised. Bhim was wondering, what's going on? Because Yudhishthira was a bit unpredictable. Sometimes, because he's Dharmaraj, he did things which some people couldn't understand because they were in accordance with Dharma. So Bhim was thinking, perhaps Yudhisthira has seen Bhishma on the other side, the grandfather, and he's decided to surrender rather than fight. Arjuna also was perplexed. What is Yudhisthira doing? And they actually tried to stop him. Come back! What are you doing? But Yudhisthira carried on. And he was facing the Kaurava army. In front of him was Bhishma. And he paid his obeisances. Please accept my humble obeisances and give me permission to fight you. And Bhishma was very loving, very kind-hearted, although on the wrong side. He blessed Yudhisthira. I bless you with victory. Vijaya Bhava. And Duryodhan, all this time, he was thinking, oh, Yudhisthira is coming to give up. He's seen Bhishma. He can never defeat Bhishma. So, when that blessing came from Bhishma to Yudhisthira, Duryodhan was really angry. What are you doing? You're blessing the enemy with victory? You even haven't blessed me with victory. So Bhishma answered, Yudhisthira has come. He has asked for blessings. I will give my blessings. If he hadn't come for my blessings, I would have cursed him. So the blessings of the superiors, fundamental, very important. To have good relations with the superiors, very, very important. Then we come to the spiritual master. This relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple is unique. Tatvidipa nipetena paripasena shivaya upalakshyantitya dhyanirapsatva dashina. Krishna himself has a verse dedicated to the importance of the spiritual master. One must inquire from him submissively, in a humble mood, and serve him. Simple inquiry. Anybody can ask a question. But if you really want the mercy of the spiritual master, serve him with humility. Then the gyan and the vigyan will also flow from the guru to the spiritual, to the disciple. Why is this important? Om gyanam timirandasya. Gyanam timirandasya. Gyanam timirandasya. We are born in ignorance and darkness. Om gyanam timirandasya. Gyanam jala salakaya. Gyanam, knowledge can come from the spiritual master. Gyanam jala salakaya. Salakaya is the instrument. Chakshush, eyes are covered. Cataract. So salakaya is the instrument that removes the cataract and we can see again. Jnana salakala om jnanam timirandasya jnanam salakala chakshur anmilitan. We can see again. Yena mam yena tasmai guruve namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to that spiritual master who has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. How we approach the spiritual master is very important. One teacher was asked by a student, I want to learn from you. So the teacher said, okay, bring a glass, empty glass, and bring some milk. So the student did that. He brought the milk. This teacher started pouring the milk in the glass. And the glass was becoming full. And the student said, stop, because the glass is almost full now. But this teacher carried on pouring until the milk overflowed from the glass. And the student was getting a little bit upset. Stop, stop, the milk is overflowing. So the teacher said, don't worry, relax, relax. This is my first lesson to you. What did you learn? The student said, all I learned was you put too much milk in the cup and it's overflowed. It's all on the floor. So the teacher explained, if you come with the attitude that I know everything, then whatever knowledge I'll give you will not enter your heart. Don't come with a full glass. If you come with an empty glass, empty vessel, whatever knowledge I will give you will enter your heart. So this is the attitude, the learning attitude of the disciple. You've come to learn with humility, submissiveness, and in a serving mood. That is the right formula to get knowledge from the spiritual master. This is the sword of knowledge which will help us destroy our material existence. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he was asked one time by one of his disciples, "I have been practicing this Krishna consciousness for such a long time, but I have not seemed to make any advancement." So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati replied to him, "It's like worms in the stomach. You may eat a lot of prasad, a lot of food, but the worms are the ones in the stomach who are getting the nourishment and getting the strength. Whereas you, the body, may not get much strength. Your body may not get much strength because the worms are getting the strength." So his point was, the worms of material desires can eat up all of the spiritual nourishment that we give the body, our spirit. So these material desires we have to try to curtail. Not just material desires. As it says here, by the mercy one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. What are the enemies Maharaj was mentioning yesterday? Lust, anger, greed, the three gateways to hell. In the previous verse it says, attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger and sleep. All of these enemies, sometimes one's conceptions are also polluted by goodness. So there's a lot of enemies. We're living in Kali Yuga. We're born in the age of Kali. This is the worst age to come. Everything is against us. Just like Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, everything was stacked against them. The other army was more powerful. Bhishma could not die. He could choose when he wanted to die. Dronacharya was on the other side. How could they defeat their own teacher? Everything was stacked against them. Yet they were still victorious. Sometimes we can use our weaknesses to our strength. There's an example of a boy who wanted to learn judo, but he didn't have a left hand. He had an accident, he was severed. But he still wanted to learn. So he approached a judo teacher, and the judo teacher said to him, "Yes, I will teach you. But I will only teach you one move." So the student was a bit surprised. He said, "Okay, teach me that one move." For years and years, this teacher taught him that one move. At some point, all the students were entered into a competition, including this student who didn't have the left hand. And everybody was thinking, he'll have no chance to win. He won the first match. He won the second match. Even he was surprised. How am I winning? He won the third match. He was in the final. He won the final. At the end of the competition, he went to his teacher and he asked him, "How did this happen? How could I win?" So the judo teacher explained to him, "I taught you the deadliest move in judo, which you perfected. And the only way to counteract that move was if the opponent could catch your left hand. And you don't have a left hand." So his weakness was turned into a strength. We have significant weakness. At least I can speak for myself. Lust, anger, and greed, together with everything else, together with the desire to enjoy the senses, these are such significant weaknesses that we have to face. We have our spiritual master, our spiritual masters. We have the greatest spiritual master that has ever come to this world. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. He has left us such an incredible legacy. The books, the temples, the devotees. I don't think there is a town or a village you can go to now where holy name is not recited, where there is not a congregation of devotees, where there is not a temple. We are so, so fortunate. But still, we have our karmas, we have our mood of sense enjoyment. We have these enemies, the six enemies described in the Bhagavad Gita by Sri Krishna. And combine all of that with the age of Kali, we are under a significant disadvantage. Isn't it? Anybody disagree? But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the glorious verse, there's a glorious verse. 12th canto, 3rd chapter, text 51. Kale dosha nidhe rajan asti hi eko mahaguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha paramichet. Kale dosha nidhe rajan. O king, O Parikshit Maharaj, this age of Kali is filled with an ocean of faults. And we are witness to them, right? We can witness those on a daily basis. But he says, asti heko mahanguna. There's one very, very good quality. What is that? Kirtanad eva krishnasya. You can take the name of Krishna. You can chant the name of Krishna. And what can happen? Mukta Sangha Paramrajat. You can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the spiritual kingdom. So our weakness is significant. But in this age of Kali, we can use our weakness. We know we're fallen. At least I know I'm very fallen. And we can use that mood with conviction, with firm conviction that, my dear Lord, I am fallen. I need your mercy. This is the way to get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge. But knowledge in itself, not enough. We have to make the effort. The Damula Leela, two fingers short. Krishna was being tied by Mother Yashoda, but always two fingers short. Those two fingers represent effort. One. And second, mercy. So sword of knowledge, let's have the knowledge, let's get the knowledge, beg the spiritual master for his gyan and vigyan. But we also need the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy. Then we can conquer the enemies. Now we are very, very fortunate. Although unfortunate, very fortunate. Srila Prabhupada came to rescue us. He came to the West to give the holy names. Initially, he gave the order that we must chant 64 rounds every day. But the devotees were very reluctant. Prabhupada, we won't be doing anything else. So he reduced the standard to 32 rounds. Even then the devotees said, no, Prabhupada, please reduce it further. Minimum, he says, 60 minimum rounds. That's it. No less than that. How we chant these 16 rounds is fundamentally important to obtaining the mercy of the Divine, of the Supreme Lord. If simply we chant parrot fashion, mechanically, you know, in Japan, there is a temple where the devotees can bring their offerings and they place it near the altar and it's collected and offered to the deities. But it's collected by a robot. What's that in Hindi? A robot? Everybody understands what a robot is? A machine. So the pujari has been replaced by a machine. It's a mechanical process. Similarly with our chanting, if we simply chanting and not feeling the presence of Krishna, if not begging for the mercy, if we're not asking for purity and service, our chanting might just be mechanical. So we're spending 2 hours chanting every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, texting, talking to our friends, how are you doing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, maybe having a little snooze. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Everybody, anybody had that experience? Me too. Or we chanting and we driving at the same time. Or we chanting and we finish our rounds. And one time Prabhupada did this. He said, I have finished my 16 rounds. I can do whatever I damn like. Anything I like I can do. He was taking the position of the devotees. That was their attitude. If we're chanting and we finish our rounds and we're thinking, whew, thank God for that. Don't have to see my beads for another day. Yes. At least we're doing our vows. We're fulfilling our vows, right? We're chanting 16 rounds. But when the spiritual master says, or we make a promise to do 16 rounds, is it just 16 rounds? Good rounds. 16 good rounds. Right? 16 good rounds. Otherwise, it's simply a numbers game. You know, have you been in that situation where, greeting, 15 minutes, I've got 5 rounds to do. I want to see if I can break my record for chanting the fastest round ever. What are we even saying? What's coming out? Sometimes it's a good idea to record. Everybody's pretty much got phones with tapes, recorders, etc. Record our way we're chanting and perhaps listen to it afterwards. We might get an idea of what Krishna has to face when he's with us. He's given an undertaking. I will spend 2 hours with you every day. Are we present in that conversation with Krishna? Are we with him in that conversation with Krishna? These 2 hours are probably the most important 2 hours we will spend, because we have a direct connection with Krishna, authorized by the spiritual master. If we waste that opportunity to be with Krishna face to face, it's the greatest loss. Is there a greater loss? Sanatan Goswami Somebody approached him, "You have a touchstone, a Chintamani touchstone. Can I have it?" He said, "Yes, I have. It's in the dustbin. You can go and dig it out and take it." So the man took it. Later on he thought, this Chintamani stone, which converts everything into gold, is in the dustbin. That means that Goswami has something better to give me. So he went back to the Goswami and he said, "Why was that touchstone in the dustbin? Have you got something better than that? More valuable?" Sanatana Goswami said, "Yes. What is it? Come and sit down, I will teach you." He taught him the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sanatana Goswami says, this is the highest treasure, the highest treasure. So if we're not in that conversation with Krishna during the 2 hours of japa, how are we going to expect the mercy of Krishna? There's no calculation of mercy, right? There's no formula. Mercy means simply by the grace of the Lord. But we have to make some effort to try to become qualified for that mercy. Krishna is very kind. Even if we don't make an effort, He might give the mercy. But if we make the effort, and the spiritual master is saying to Krishna, Radharani is saying to Krishna, "Look, that devotee is making an effort. Shower in your mercy." Why not take that advantage? We got to chant for 2 hours anyway, right? So instead of worrying too much about where the mind is, because the mind is very difficult to control, right? Krishna was asked by Arjun, "The system of yoga that you have just informed me about, impossible. I can't control my mind. It's easier for me to control the wind." Right? Mind is restless. Balavat, strong. Bhaktivinoda Thakur even says in Harinam Chintamani, forget the mind. Don't even bother trying to control the mind. Bypass the mind. How do we bypass the mind? Take the mind out of the equation. Because we'll never win against the mind. Kali Yuga, we are children of Kali Yuga. How are you going to win against the mind? Mind is very strong. So how do we bypass the mind? Use the heart. Chant with feelings. My dear Lord, I have been in this material world for such a long time. I left your shelter by my own will. I wanted to be without you. But I've realized that I've made a terrible mistake. I've made a terrible mistake. And I want to come back into your shelter. Please don't reject me. Please accept me. If we chant in that mood of again wanting to be accepted by Krishna with tears in our eyes, the mind is no longer involved. It's the question of the heart and Krishna. Then you're chanting with feeling. You're in the chanting. You're in the moment with Krishna. And that is valuable. Otherwise, we can just record our chanting and put it on for 2 hours. Like the robot doing the puja in the Buddhist temple. It's mechanical. What's the point? The opportunity is gone, is wasted. But we have the greatest opportunity. We have significant weakness. But that's to our advantage, because we can say to Krishna, "We are weak." Because it's true. We are fallen. It's true. None of this is not true. We can feel our fallen situation. And when we beg Him for His kindness and His daya and His mercy, why it will not flow? why it will not flow. His mercy will come. Otherwise we will be here forever and ever and ever. His mercy has to come. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. So we have a few minutes left. Are there any comments or questions, any disagreements, any challenges? Yes. The question is a very nice question. How can we fully realize the purport of chapter 4, text 9 of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, "Janma karma chame devyam." Just understand my appearance and my activities, and I promise you, once you leave this material body, you will go back to the spiritual world. We can understand it very practically through the chanting of the holy names and by the mercy of the spiritual master. The holy name is so powerful. Nothing independent has to be done. There's a pastime. How powerful this holy name is. In Ramlila, one time, they were building the bridge. So Ram was seeing Hanuman and the monkeys write the name of Ram on each stone, and they were placing the stone on the ocean and he was floating. So Ram was thinking, wow, let me try as well. He picked up a stone and he said, I'm not going to put my name, Ram, on the stone. I am Ram. I don't need to put the name on the stone. So he threw it on the ocean and it sank. And he was embarrassed. He was thinking, I hope nobody saw that. Hanuman was watching. Hanuman came to his Lord and said, Lord, this won't work with you. Why, Hanuman? Because your name is more powerful than you are. And he said something else as well. He said, also, you threw that stone away and it sank. Anybody you throw away from your shelter will sink deeply in this material world. So it's two things. So it shows the name of Ram is more powerful than Ram himself. So if we can absorb ourselves completely in the chanting of the holy names, his activities and pastimes will be automatically revealed to us. No extra endeavor needed. They will come. Of course, Prabhupada is very kind. He's given us Krishna book. All of his activities, the transcendental nature of his appearance, Krishna, in the Krishna book, Prabhupada has given. But for it to become knowledge and transformed into gyan, and then transformed further into spiritual consciousness, realized knowledge, takes some doing. So sometimes we may hear some pastimes and we may think, I'm not sure about that. How would that actually work? Because we're using our tiny brains to make a calculation, material calculation. But if we absorb ourselves in the chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, in due course of time, with patience, enthusiasm, determination, everything gets revealed. Krishna himself says, tesam satatam yuktanam dadami buddhi yogam tam. From within the heart, I will reveal everything to my devotee. So no separate endeavor. Study is important. The sword of knowledge the spiritual master gives is important. That's our effort. But with the effort and our nice chanting flows the mercy of the Lord. Is that okay? It won't come until we chant with feeling, genuine feeling. Sometimes even, you know, tears are very difficult to come. I mean, I am very hard-hearted. My father passed away, I didn't cry. My spiritual master passed away, I didn't cry. Hard-hearted, very hard-hearted. But I have found that even we try to generate some tears, just generate, teacher, my dear Lord, I am so for. If you forsake me, I have nowhere to go. Just generate, there's some tears come, and then you realize, okay, I am now chanting with some feeling. Even though the tears might not be completely genuine, they're like crocodile tears. But as soon as they come, you realize, oh, okay, I feel a connection. And then that, you can use that for the whole of your japa period to connect with God, with feeling. If we can do that, if we can, because He's a person, and we have to have a relationship with the person, the Supreme Person. And He's present, He's willing to be with us for 2 hours every single day. Isn't that incredible? So we have to, if we're in the habit of chanting mechanically, nish nish hare hare. There was one man on his deathbed and 3 cartoon characters came to him. And he asked them, what are you doing here? Well, you've been calling me all this time, nish nish, hare hare, and ram ram. I haven't been calling you. I've been calling Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. No, the way you've been chanting, you've been calling Nish, Nish, Hare, Hare, Ram, Ram. So, if we try to chant properly with focus, concentration, and feeling and heart, mind will go out of it, because mind wanders. As soon as you start the first japa round, your mind is gone. Take the mind out of the equation. Chant with feeling. My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. I've been engaged in the service of Maya lifetime after lifetime. Finally, I have come at your lotus feet by the mercy of my fantastic grandfather, spiritual grandfather, Srila Prabhupada. Let me engage in your service. And I'll give you one example. I had a similar mood of chanting yesterday morning. I just chanted, please engage me, sir. Otherwise I do so much nonsense, sense enjoyment, so much rubbish in my head. I love to talk about you, I love to preach about you. Please engage me in your service. And funny enough, after class, Dharmatma Prabhu very kindly approached me and said, would you like to give class? So Krishna is a person, he will reciprocate immediately. Why not? Try it. Well, I'm sure you're already doing it. I always say to devotees, experiment. If you don't believe me, don't worry. Just try it. See what happens. What are you going to lose? You're going to spend the 2 hours chanting anyway. Instead of chanting nish nish, are are, chant Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.